remember the famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Devyam Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha Taktadiham Punar Janma Naiti Mam Iti So Arjuna. What does that mean? Janma means birth, and karma means activities. So today we want to understand the birth and the activities of Lord Sri Krishna. But that is easier said than done. It is a very deep subject matter, and although we may go on for lifetimes hearing and chanting about Krishna, as it is said, even with thousands or millions of tongues and millions of ears, we can never ever get to the bottom of the ocean of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So when Krishna comes to this world, he does not come in a material form. That's obvious. If you study the Bhagavatam, if you study Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, we understand that he comes in a transcendental body. That's clear from the activities that he performs. No one on the material plane can perform such activities. It's impossible. It requires the Supreme Lord to do so. Therefore, it says, Ajopishan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pishan prakritim swam adishtaya swam bhavami atmamayaya. Know that verse? You don't know that verse. Sriram, you're supposed to be the director of communications and education. That verse tells us that when the Supreme Lord comes to this world, he comes in a body which is made of atmamayaya, means transcendence. It's a spiritual body. It's not a material form. So he appears in every millennium, and it's in his original transcendental form. So, of course, we know the Leela that Devaki and her good husband Vasudeva were just married, but then there was an omen from the sky that proclaimed that Kamsa, you are such a fool, because now you are driving the chariot of your sister, but you don't know that the eighth son of this sister will kill you. So Kamsa, being the demon that he was, immediately drew his sword and was ready to kill his own sister on the day of her birth, on her day of her marriage. So Vasudeva, with great reasoning, convinced him not to do so. But eventually, Kamsa imprisoned both Vasudeva and Devaki, and we know that they gave birth to six male children, 1 year after another. And then Kamsa, as soon as the children were born, he came in the prison cell and he killed each and every one of them. And then we know that within the womb of Devaki appeared Anantasesha, or Sankarshan, or Balaram. And everyone thought that that was a miscarriage. But actually what happened was, is that the Lord's potency, Yogamaya, arranged for Balaram, or Sankarshan, to be transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of who? Rohini, another wife, Vasudev. And so he was transferred there to Gokul Vrindavan, and he took his birth. And this then paved the way for Krishna to take his birth. Now this we all know, but something we may not know is that there's a background to this. Because there's many dimensions and many angles and many layers. And the Acharyas explain that in the previous birth, Kamsa was a demon of the name Kalanimi. And he had six sons, and they were called the Satgarbhas, or six garbhas. And they were all powerful, and they were very expert in military affairs. And it seems that these six garbhas, or the Satgarbhas, they were the grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu. And, of course, Hiranyakashipu thought that everyone should worship him. And he couldn't think that there was anyone greater than him. This is the mentality of a materialist. He can only think that he's the greatest, and he can't see anything else beyond that. So Hiranyakashipu was very, very powerful. So powerful that when he would speak, the demigods would tremble in fear. He was so powerful. But still, these six grandsons, they took shelter of Lord Brahma, and they did very great austerities. And Lord Brahma then gave them a boon that whatever they desired would come true. So they desired to become immortal. Or at least they chose not to be killed by any demigods or the Yakshas, Gandharvas, and human beings and so on like this. But this angered Hiranyakashipu. So much so that he cursed them. Because he was a big demon. And we know the demons, they like to curse. So Hiranyakashipu, he cursed them. And the curse that he gave was that in the next birth, your father will take birth as Kamsa. And as Kamsa, he will kill all of you who will take birth as the six sons of Devaki. So therefore, these grandsons of Hiranyakashipu, they took birth from the womb of Devaki, and one after another, they were killed by Kamsa. So this is the reason why these six sons were killed, actually. This is more a deeper reason, other than the fact that Kamsa was a demon, and he was fearful that any son of Devaki might kill him, because Narada Muni had come. He wanted to accelerate the descent of Krishna. So he was inciting Kamsa to act. He wanted him to take action. So it made Kamsa then kill all of his children, but there was a reason for that. Now also, one of the Acharyas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that there's an incarnation of the mind. We know that there's the five senses. Above the five senses is the mind, and above the mind is the intellect, and above the intellect is the soul. Now, It's said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that the incarnation of the mind is called Marichi. And he says that Marichi has six children, which are actually the six objects of the senses: sound, touch, form, taste, smell, and thought. He also says that since Devaki possesses the power to make the Lord appear, she can be understood to be the incarnation of bhakti. And Kamsa is considered to be the incarnation of fear. So he puts this all together and he says that just as fear of the material world removes the six sense objects from the womb of bhakti, so Kamsa destroyed the six children of Devaki. So then Krishna Prema is represented by the intense service to the Lord. It appears in the womb of bhakti after the desire for the sense objects are destroyed. And then Ananta appears in the form of personified service. So therefore, as I said, he appeared as the seventh child of Devaki. And then after he comes and he prepares the womb, he cleanses the womb, then and only then does Krishna appear. So Krishna then appeared as the eighth child. Now also, we understand that there is a controversy between the devotees who reside in Mathura and the devotees who reside in Vrindavan. What is the controversy? That the Mathura-vasis are sure that Krishna took birth in Mathura. But if you ask the Braj-vasis, they will say that he took birth in Gokul, Vrindavan. Now, who is correct? We hear in the Krishna book that Krishna appeared in the prison of Kamsa, isn't it? From Devaki and Vasudev. It's quite clear. He appeared there. We know. First, he appeared in a forearm form, and then when petitioned by his parents, he transformed himself into a two-arm form. So that's clear, isn't it? However, and even further than that, if we look to the example, there's something called the Jatakarma ceremony. The Jatakarma ceremony is the actual cutting of the umbilical cord at the time of birth. So we know that Vasudev, he carried Krishna in a two-arm form in the dead of night, crossed the Jamuna, and by made his way to Gokul Vrindavan. And then he brought small Krishna there, and he exchanged him for the female child that had been born to Mother Yashoda. He brought the female child back to the prison of Kamsa. And, of course, due to the influence of the Lord's internal potency, Yoga Maya, everything was arranged in such a way that the prison guards, they fell asleep, the shackles loosened, the locks opened, and Vasudev was easily able to just walk right out of the prison, take Krishna to Gokul Vrindavan, come back with a female child, and then again, as he came back into the prison, the shackles were again put on, the gates closed, The locks were placed, and then, mystically, the prison guards awoke. And they heard the child crying. Kamsa was alerted, and then Kamsa came. And what did Kamsa try to do? He grabbed the child immediately, and like he had done with the other six first sons of Devaki, he took that female child, and even though he was petitioned again and again by Devaki and Vasudev not to kill a female child, he was merciless. And he took the child, and he was just about ready to smash the child on the rock. But then the child immediately sprung from his hands, rose up into the sky, and took the form of Durga. He appeared in an eight-armed form, and Kamsa was astonished. When he saw this, and Durga looked at him and said that you are a fool. Of course, that was obvious to everyone already. But she said, you are a fool because actually Krishna has already appeared somewhere else. Now, another clue is given. She's saying that Krishna has appeared somewhere else. She's saying he did not appear in the prison house. So what's happening? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other authorities, they cite evidence from various shastras, and they say that Krishna actually took birth as a son of Mother Yashoda before the birth of Yogamaya, because she is described as Krishna's younger sister. So now what is going on? Krishna has appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. We know that. But here, we hear these great authorities saying that he took birth from Mother Yashoda. So how is that possible? And Prabhupada says, when Vishnu or Krishna took birth from Devaki and Mathura, he must have simultaneously taken birth from Yashoda in Braja also. Otherwise, how could Yogamaya have been Anuja, which means the Lord's younger sister? And further, Prabhupada writes, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as a son of Devaki and as a son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy, Yogamaya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudeva was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yashoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his godhood. This is a difference between Krishna as a son of Yashoda and as a son of Devaki. So, what we hear that Krishna took his birth, we know that he took birth in a forearm form. He was fully ornamented. He was fully grown. He had a full head of hair. He had all the ornaments of Vishnu. So he came with full opulence. But when he appeared to Mother Yashoda, he was in a completely different mood. He came in a form of a two-armed child and grew to be a cowherd boy. Very simple. So on one hand, we have Vasudeva and Devaki receiving Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence, recognizing that this is a supreme Lord And they offer him so many prayers that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada also paraphrases them in the Krishna book. They offer so many prayers, praising his divinity, praising, you know, his opulence and his pastimes, and the fact that they had appeared many times in previous births and had had the Supreme Lord as their child. So we see a contrast. So what actually is the answer to this riddle? Where did Krishna actually take birth? Did he take birth in the prison of Kamsa, or did he take birth in Gokul to Mother Yashoda? Hari Bol! Now, I want a show of hands. Those of you who think that Krishna took his birth in the prison of Kamsa, raise your hands. Nobody's raising their hands? But it says, okay, we have one hand. How many hands? One, two, how many hands? Three? Three hands? Four. We have four hands. Give me five. Give me five. Do we have five? Five? Five. Five. Six. Okay, we have six hands that say that Krishna appeared in Mathura, in the prison house of Kamsa. How many think that Krishna took his birth in Gokul Vrindavan to Mother Yashoda? What? Not sure. How many? One. Raise them high. Two. Dhruva? No, not sure? You're not going to make a vote here. Two? Anybody else here? Two. Only two. Only two. I see some persons voting on both sides here. Make sure, right? You're not sure, right? Or you're thinking, okay, well. He appeared in Vrindavan. Okay. Well, now some persons have not voted here. Some persons have voted, a small number have voted for Krishna appearing in Mathura, prison house of Kamsa. And a larger number have voted for him appearing in Gokul Vrindavan to Mother Yashoda. And some have abstained from today's vote. That's the end of the class. Any questions? Okay, what happened? That the Krishna who appeared in Mathura is called Vasudev Krishna. And as we know, Vasudev Krishna, fully grown, four hands, long hair, ornaments, symbols of Vishnu. So he's called Vasudev Krishna. And the Krishna who took birth in Braja is the original Krishna, with two hands. So when Vasudev and Devaki prayed to Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become a human baby, you remember that? Because they were afraid Kamsa was going to come thinking that the Lord had taken birth, four arms and full opulence. So they begged him, please turn into a small infant, don't attract so much attention. So what happened when they prayed like that, the child, the original Krishna, who took birth from Mother Yashoda, immediately came to the prison house of Kamsa, and that original form absorbed the form of Krishna. And so the original form then became that Krishna that Vasudeva eventually carried to Gokul. So when they prayed, the expansion of Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, was absorbed by the original Krishna that came, who was born from Mother Yashoda, previous to the female child. Because it said that she could not remember after she had given birth, if she had given birth to one or two children. If you remember, she didn't remember. So what happened was, is that Krishna went, he absorbed the form, and then Vasudeva carried him back, left him there with Mother Yashoda, and then brought back Yogamaya, the female child. So that's what's happened. And we hear, there's other hints of this in the Bhagavatam. For example, another part of the 10th canto, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, when he's speaking about Krishna's pastimes, he becomes very animated and very enlivened and very ecstatic. And he in ecstasy, he says, Jayati te dikam janmana braja. He says, O beloved Krishna, your birth in the land of Braja has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides there. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. So he says very clearly that Krishna appeared in Braja. So the original form appeared in Braja. Also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastakam, in the fifth sloka, what does he say? You remember that translation? Fifth sloka? Remember that verse? Aya, Ayi. Ayi, Nanda. Kinkara. Then? Patitanam? Pitatam. Then? What does that mean? So what does he say? He says, O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna. He says, you're the son of Maharaj Nanda. So Mahaprabhu says the same thing. So then Prabhupada, he says, the devotees understand that actually Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda, although first of all appeared as the son of Devaki, he immediately transferred himself to the lap of Mother Yashoda, and his childhood pastimes were blissfully enjoyed by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This fact is also admitted by Vasudeva himself when he met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda at Kurukshetra. He admitted that Krishna and Balaram were actually the sons of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So, in any case, we should never think that Krishna was conceived or born as an ordinary child. He's always transcendental, he's always supreme, and he manifests himself by his own internal potency. And because he wanted to appear as a cowherd boy, his internal potency arranged for his apparent birth in Braja. Otherwise, the Lord is unborn and eternal with no beginning and no end. And we can end with one verse from the Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami. He says that Lord Krishna is perfect in Dwarka. He's more perfect in Mathura. And he is most perfect where? In Vrindavan. So we prefer to worship Krishna in Vrindavan from beginning to end. Shri Krishna Jamastami ki. So now you know. He appeared in both places, but the appearance in the prison cell of Kamsa was an expansion, Vasudeva Krishna. And the original form was born in Mother Yashoda. And this is how the whole thing happened. And you heard it today, August 22nd, 2011, at the Sri Sri Radha Madhav Mandir. Please repeat it again and again and again. When Prabhupada once went to New York, he was visiting New York, and he was gazing at the deities, Radha Govinda, for a very long period of time. And devotees were also looking at Radha Govinda. And then Prabhupada turned to them and he said, Radha and Govinda are dancing tonight. And the devotees were looking, kept looking. They couldn't see it. No, but Prabhupada said, no, Radha and Govinda are dancing tonight. So the pure devotee can see the eternal pastimes of the Lord, and he sees the Radha and Krishna, even though they may be from a external point of view, be standing there, stationary, and seemingly not moving, but actually they're engaged in their eternal pastimes. And that includes dancing. So Prabhupada saw them dancing. And if we also purify our hearts sufficiently, when we look at them, Sri Sri Radha Madhava, we'll also be able to see them dancing. When that day will come, may be distant for most of us, but there is one sure way to get there. Do you know what that way is? No other way? No other way? No other way? Other than? Chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. Three times, for emphasis, it said no other way. The first way means it's not through karma. No karmic activities, no karma yoga can bring you there. It's not through jnana. The process of jnana will not take you there. And also, the process of mystic or Astanga yoga will not take you there. Only the vehicle of chanting Krishna's name. Therefore it said, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo naste, eva naste, eva naste, eva naste, eva gatiranyataha. No other way, no other way, no other way. than chanting holy name, chanting holy name, chanting holy name. That is the only way. So therefore, we shall chant more for your pleasure, and really for the pleasure of Radha Madhava, for their pleasure. If we're pleased, it's because they're pleased. So I guess you should think that if you're yawning and if you're falling asleep and you're not with us in the kirtan, that they must not be pleased. I don't know. But we should at least try to please them through a nice chanting.